Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in the fourth Pasuk. We've been talking about the subject of Pinuk, which means spoiling a child or spoiling a person in general. A spoiled person is not a good product, not something to be proud of. Of course, when listening to such classes, many of us feel somewhat frustrated because probably we've made mistakes in the past, and probably some of us are even paying for it. So it's not comfortable to hear things that make us feel a little guilty or frustrated, especially when we feel there's nothing to do. What's done is done. It's over. So the truth is, it's never over. First of all, there are more children coming up the pipeline, so there's always room to learn for new grandchildren, great-grandchildren. There's room to give direction to new parents. Sometimes your children become parents. It's a way to guide them a little bit, share with them. Today I want to share with you a solution to someone who's already spoiled. The only issue is that this solution can only really come from the person himself. I mean, let's say my parents made a mistake. Out of the goodness of their heart, their overwhelming love, they didn't realize the rules. And they spoiled me. Always, not always, but usually. Spoiling comes from a very good place. It's not coming from someone who's trying to hurt. It's coming from someone who's trying to help. So they didn't realize. It's very normal that people raise their children and don't realize what they're doing. They have good intentions, but good intentions don't necessarily make good results. So I want to share with you an idea that parents could use for their young children. But at the same time, it's also a solution for people who already are in the spoiled world. They're very, very, very sensitive to anything that goes wrong. They're very weak when things get difficult. They don't have the strength when they need it in their lives. So what could they do? Again, if it was in my hands to take my spoiled child and despoil him, I would do it. But probably it's not so much in our hand as they get older. But knowing what we're going to learn is going to make a difference for the person himself and maybe even the parent if the opportunity presents itself. And this is going to come from a question we asked a few weeks ago. Which we didn't focus on the answer because we were doing something else at the time. And we spoke about the story of Yaakov and Yosef. And we saw that Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, on his deathbed, told Yosef the explanation for something he did 50 years before when Yosef was a little boy, 6 or 7 years old, when his mother passed away. We know that he buried her on the road, which is not such a respectful thing to do. And at the end of his life, Yaakov tells Yosef that really there was a command from the Creator that he wanted Yaakov to bury his wife specifically on the road. So over here, Rashi Alav HaShalom says, Lo holachtiha afilu lebet lechem. I didn't even bring her into the city of Bethlehem. At least go inside to the city. He should have went to Me'arat HaMachpelah, not far down the road. But at least I could have buried her in the city of Bethlehem. But I didn't. Ve'yadati, listen to these words. Yaakov says to Yosef, Ve'yadati. And I know. Sheyesh belibecha alayv. That you have now something bothering you about me. Yesh. Yesh means now. Not only before. Sheyesh. I know as I speak to you now, there's a little something inside of you that maybe is upset or frustrated, or not happy with something. Amazing. Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef more than any of his children. He even gave him things that he didn't give his children. And yet, Yosef has some bad feelings towards his father. Shows you how powerful sometimes one act can be. Of course, Yosef knows that Yaakov loves him. He has no doubt about that. But bad feelings are bad feelings. Sometimes you tell a person, you know, you shouldn't feel bad, but he does. He's hurt. It's a hurtful situation, and it stuck with him for 50 years. The great Yosef, we're talking. The one who told his brothers, I have no issue with you. Total forgiveness. The same one. Yaakov tells him, I know that you have in your heart some uncomfortable feeling on me. Because I buried your mother. You know, the burial of a mother doesn't change from day to day. Every day you wake up, you realize your mother is buried on the street.
Treat?
Yeah. Sometimes things pass. But the reality of a kever doesn't change. So I guess it's something that lasts with the person. So Yaakov says, I know that you feel bad about this. Aval dalecha, but you should know, she'al pi ha'dibur kevarti Hashem. You should know that Hashem told me, it wasn't my decision. Done. Sometimes a person gets upset with somebody and they're missing some information. Once they get the information, they realized it was all a mistake. Imagine you thought that Reuben stole from you, and for 50 years, you're upset at Reuben every time you see him. And one day you find out Reuben never stole from you. It was Shimon. Right away, at that moment, everything changes with your feelings towards Reuben. Here's a story. 50 years, Yosef feels bad, has something on his father. And now he realized that he didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't he that buried her on the road. God told him, Hashem told him, as he was doing. Done.
problem solved. No more yesh belibecha alai. No more issue in Yosef's heart on his father. This is the famous Rashi and famous Pasuk in the Torah, Parashat Barhi. I once saw a most beautiful question. On this story, it's really an obvious question. What took Yaakov so long to repair the damage? Yosef at the time was 6 or 7 years old. He was with him for another 10 years. So maybe you couldn't understand then. Maybe at the age of 13, you could have understood. And after Yosef met Yaakov again back in Egypt, plenty of years, he had plenty of opportunity to tell him. Why does he wait till the last day of his life to tell his son Yosef that all the bad feelings you have because of me, they're really explainable? Wasn't in my hands. It's a big question. You know, your son has something, a big question on you. Yosef was very respectful of his father. He would never act on this bad feeling. But it's a bad feeling. He's living with it for 50 years. Your son is living with this feeling for 50 years. And you have the ability in literally 1 minute to make it go away. Why would you not take care of it? Why are you waiting till the end of your life to fix a bad feeling that you could have done 50 years ago? Nothing happened in the 50 years. Whatever happened then is the answer for 50 years. At that moment, God told him, bury your ear. It's over, done. It's a very big question. I once heard a very powerful answer, which, you know, some things in life, you hear them and they really change your perspective on, in a big way. Sometimes simple things, sometimes more difficult. This is pretty simple, actually, but it's a very big hidush, especially in today's society. Yaakov Avinu was a master in Hinuf. He raised the 12 Shvatim. This master of Hinuf understands what's needed to raise a great person like his children. One of the most important possessions that a person can receive in their life, that they can have for themselves, is being able to listen to someone, even if they don't understand the reason. This is one of the important qualities a person can receive in life, is to listen and follow advice and fulfill the advice with all their energy as if they thought of it themselves, even if they don't even know why the person is saying it. Of course, they have to hear from a reliable source. They have to know that the one that's telling them is capable of giving them such aitzot, such advice, which in itself is a study. How do you know who's reliable? But that's not for today. But he has someone reliable. And the subject matter, also the person is reliable. To be reliable, A, you have to care about the person, and you have to be knowledgeable of the issue at hand. So you have someone that you could trust, and they advise you to do something, and you don't connect to it. You don't get it so much. Why do I gotta do that? I don't understand. Most people, when they understand what they're doing, they put all their energy into it because they see the benefit. But if they don't understand, someone else told them to do it. So even if they follow, but it's at a much less of a energy, of a capacity, because they're really not into it. I'll do it because you said, but they're not all in, but they don't get it. Again, in our generation, they probably won't do it altogether. But either they do it, it's at 10%, 20%. If you understand what you're doing, if you connect to it, you give it your all. But to be a successful person in this world, you need to have the ability to be 100% in, even if you don't understand. As long as it comes from a reliable source. Because life has many situations that you need to do things that you don't understand. Obviously, you go to school. A young child in school doesn't understand even the most simple things. Why do I have to learn alphabet? He has that question. At that age of his life, he doesn't understand what he's missing. What am I missing that I have to learn alphabet? What is missing in my life? Ah, bah, God, for what? You know how many kids think there's no purpose in learning alphabet when we know reading is the most important, critical education? Without it, you're disabled for life. But a five-year-old doesn't understand that. So what happens when he's going to school and he doesn't understand why they're teaching him something? Well, if he has the power to do with full strength, despite the fact that he doesn't understand why, he will succeed. It's not only Aleph Bet, it's throughout his school years. There are going to be many, many things during school time that are important for him. But because he doesn't yet understand why it's important, he won't do it. Or he'll do it, but very light, just to be yotzeh, to fulfill his minimal obligation. They tell him to read a book. He doesn't know why he's to read a book. Rather watch a video. Says, read a book for. Then they say, what's wrong with these people? To read? For what reason?
So.
And what about the relationship with his parents? How many times is a young person, different levels of his youth, that doesn't understand why his mother or father tell him to do something? Or why he can't do something? Can't go out past a certain time. Why? What do you care? What's the matter to you? Hey, you can't talk to that guy. He's not good for you. Why? He's a great kid. The finest in the class. What is the problem? Parents are crazy. How many situations that parents have with their children that the kid at that age is not capable of understanding? So what happens now when he's being asked to do something that he doesn't understand? All depends. If he has the gift of being able to go full force, even though he doesn't understand, be a great success. Because one day he will understand and he will gain the benefits of all those years. Imagine he didn't know how to learn. He didn't learn how to read. Take a simple thing. Because he didn't understand why he needed to. So he never paid attention. One day he wakes up, he's 20 years old. He wants to pray, he wants to learn, he wants to do. Can't do it. So, now I understand why I had to read. Even that's too late. Or it's very late. This is a great gift, a great possession of life, to have the power to do with full capacity. It's in school, it's at home, it's in business. You go to work for somebody. It's the way it's supposed to be. People dream of opening up a business the first day they're starting to work. It's not so smart. Go work for somebody. Go learn. But when you work for people, you're going to end up doing things that you don't understand. Why are we doing it this way? Why are they asking me to be in this department? Many questions. An employee who doesn't have this capability can't give it 100% because he's not connected to it. For sure, this is needed when it comes to marriage. Not always you understand what your wife wants from you and why she needs something. You look at yourself and say, I don't need that. Why does she need that for? It's not important. Why is it important to her? It's a good question. Give an hour. So if you don't connect to it and you're that type, say you just don't do it. Or you do it very light because you're not trained. You don't possess that gift. It is that way with our relationship to Hashem. How many times does Hashem ask us to do things and we don't really understand why? Or he says, don't do this, and we don't really understand why. So now what? What happens when you don't understand why? So what do? Obviously, if you don't possess this gift, you either don't do it or you do it in a very light way. You don't succeed. Not only in mitzvot, in life situations. Why did Hashem make me short? Why did he make me tall? Why did he make me rich? Why did he make me poor? Why did I just hurt my knee? Why didn't I get married as quickly as I thought? Why isn't my son married? Why isn't my... How many questions do we have every day about things that we don't really understand? I don't get it. It's okay not to get it. We're humans, after all. If we were to understand everything God understands, then we would be God. So it makes sense that we don't understand everything. He's much bigger than us. People sometimes are surprised. I don't know why I don't understand. What don't you know? What is it that you don't know? What's so hard to understand? Why do you even think you should understand what he understands? But bottom line, the reality is we don't understand a lot of things that happen in our lives. So what happens to a person in that situation? They become weak. They become unable to move forward the way they're supposed to because they don't understand why this is happening. It's endless, this gift. If a person has it, it changes the dynamics in everything. And if they don't have it, everything is changed as well. Shomea le'etza hacham. Shlomo HaMelech says, a person who listens to advice is a wise person. So one might think this means that if someone gives you advice and you like what he has to say, and then you follow it.
That's not a chacham.
You have to be a wise person for that. If someone tells you something and you understand it, so no longer are you listening to him. You're listening to yourself. Because now you get it also. That's not called shomei aleza. That's called listening for yourself. That's called education. You didn't know something, now you know it. That's not what he means. Shomei aleza means someone capable advises you and you don't understand it. Continue in this job for another year. But I hate it. Why? Shomei aleza, reliable person. I'm going to do it full force. Shomei aleza means being able to go full force when you don't understand it. If you understand, it's not called listening to advice. Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, as a wise person, Shomei aleza, are you capable of going all in, even though you don't understand it? Yaakov Avinu, the great mechanech, the great educator, he knows that one of his goals for his children is to be a shomei aleza chacham. He wants to raise them in a way that he develops inside of them the capability of moving forward with full strength, even though you don't understand. And whenever he has an opportunity, he takes advantage. And here he saw one such opportunity. He saw a young boy who has a question on his father, can't understand why he would do such a ridiculous act of burying his mother on the street. In the street, can't get it. Not only a 7-year-old can't get it, a 50-year-old can't get it. It's a prophecy, there's no way he can get it. So of course, it would have been so beautiful to come and say, Yosef, my little son, that's what we would do. We say, come on, let me explain to you. I know you have a question on daddy, right? You don't understand, right? But let me explain to you what happened. God came to me and told me, I have to do this. Oh, okay, Dad, thanks. Gorgeous. And you walk away thinking, oh, what a father I am. Whenever I have the chance, I explain everything to my children. I don't let them have any doubts. Everything I do, make sure you explain to them. You know why Daddy wants you home at 10 o'clock at night? Let me explain to you why. You know why we want you to go to school today? Let me explain to you the value of education. You pride yourself. This is a type of person who comes home at night after a full day of explaining to his children, feeling like a master in chinuch. Because I explain. I don't just ask them to do. I explain to them. I make sure they understand it. And this way they walk away with a full head of understanding and they go with a full force. Beautiful. What a master you are. Everything you ask of your children, you explain it to them. Sounds so inclusive, progressive, educational. It's beautiful. My kids don't just do like robots. My kids need to understand everything. And even as they're listening to this class, such a person might say, what's he about to say? He's about to say something I don't agree with. The Yaakov Avinu, the master, knows that if you explain to your children everything, then you're weakening them because they will not have the ability in life to do things full force until they understand it, because that's what you taught them. You didn't take the opportunities not to explain yourself. You want to educate them? Educate them at a different time. But there are moments where you just say, you know why I have to come home? Because daddy said. You have a great reason. Tell him in a week from now. But recognize the tool that you're giving them to be able to follow what daddy says. But why? Daddy said, I'm your dad. So, done. Not in a mean way. Not in a, God forbid, angry way. Not in a, sometimes we do it that way, it doesn't do the job. In a very loving way. Full of ahava, but full of clarity. You don't say it this way, but you're saying, I don't have to explain it to you. It's not what you should say. I don't have to explain it to you. Sounds very arrogant. Yeah. Of course, you have to say it in a humble way. But you're helping this young person for the rest of their life. You're training them. And Yaakov Avinu sees such opportunities and takes advantage of them. And here's one such opportunity. A confused boy doesn't understand what his father's doing. I mean, he loves his father. He has really no questions on his father, but what can he do? He has a big question. Yaakov Avinu decides, this is one of those items I need to give my son a gift. What's the gift? I'm not going to explain to him. He's going to have to be my son. He's going to have to respect me fully. He's going to have to kiss my hand every Friday night. He's going to have to give me all the kavod required that stand up for me. Show me all the proper kavod and yirah of a father and mother. The awe, the respect, everything. Even though he has a little something in his heart that doesn't understand something, good. You don't have to understand, but you can still be full force. These types of things need training. It's not a speech. To become this kind of person, it doesn't happen with inspiration. You can't be inspired to be that person. To be a Shomei Aleh, it's a Hacham, it doesn't come from a book. You can't learn it. You have to be in it. It's only through practice, the same way you can develop physical muscles by being inspired to work out. You have to go to the gym. There's no other way. You cannot teach your children this value. Cannot teach it. You could talk about it, but it's not going to make a difference until they actually go through it. They have to go through it. It's part of their training. And you and I, and any caring person who we care for others, if it's within our ability to give them that training, to help them acquire this gift, this is Yaakov Avinu. He's training his son for 50 years, as long as he can, until he sees a moment where he feels, Now it's time to tell him for another reason, which we won't do right now. This is called the Shmiat Ozel. Shmiat Ozel means the ability to listen with your ears. Your brain didn't understand, but your ears heard. Shmiat Ozel. Acting on what you heard, even if you don't fully understand. That's how they train a soldier. They train a soldier, if you ever noticed, they train them with things that don't make any sense. Things that they'll never use during their fighting and war. They march, they raise their guns, they put it down, they turn, they do a bowed face. What are they doing? They don't do that in wars. They don't do a bowed face in the middle of a war. What are they doing? It's the army training, they do a lot of things that have nothing to do with fighting. But they do it religiously. They have to follow. Why? Because you're not a soldier if you can't follow instructions. Imagine you're in the middle of the war and the general says, okay, guys, we're going right. Guy says, I don't know, why are we going right? And he says to go right. Look, isn't it obvious we should go left? You know what happens when the soldiers question the general? They're not soldiers. So how do you teach them to be soldiers? Before you fight, you have to be a soldier first. The first thing you need is the ability of following instructions. You don't have to understand. That is the first job of training a soldier. Before he learns how to fight, he needs to be a soldier first. Follow instructions. They don't make sense. Why am I turning my face? That doesn't matter. Don't ask those questions. Tomorrow you gotta wake up 4 a.m. Why? Kacha. This is the great gift we can give our children. You have to look out for the opportunities. Not in a cruel and disrespectful way, but in a loving way. They don't have to understand. That's what we can do to help our children. And a person is already spoiled. What he can do to help himself is find someone that he fully trusts. Could be a rabbi, it could be a friend, it could be a father, it could be a mother. And at least in one area of his life, commit to be the soldier of that person. Maybe it could be in business. It could be in religion. It could be in both. It could be in the way he deals with his social life. Whatever it is, at least one area of your life. You're 30 years old and you're a spoiled person. And it's maybe already starting to make clear differences in your life. Maybe you won't relate it to spoiling, but maybe after you hear this classes, you realize, oh, maybe I am spoiled. Every little thing that goes wrong, I go crazy. Every little thing that goes wrong, I get upset. I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm a very finicky person. Oh, you're spoiled. All fancy words means you're spoiled. You know, when it's too hot out, I get a little crazy. When it's too cold out, I need a shower every 10 minutes. Spoiled. Everything bothers you. Very nervous. It's all the effects of being a spoiled person. Many, many things that a person suffers from is because of being spoiled. They don't know the connection, but that's where it's from. And you could help yourself by at least taking one area of your life. Choose one. You could choose more. At least take one area in your life and say, you know what? I am going to be committed to what this man said. He's my general in business. Whatever he says, I do. Like I said, it could be in any and all areas. Find a general that you will follow. And specifically, when you don't understand, those are the moments of medicine to cure the spoilage. Every person can do that. Because if they didn't send you to the gym, you gotta go to the gym yourself. That's the halakha. If a father doesn't do a brit milah for his son, the obligation is for a father to do the milah for his son.
All right.
So what happens if the father didn't do it?
No.
What do you do? Kid says, okay, my father didn't do it. What do you want from me? It's his obligation. He didn't do it. Halakha says that if he doesn't do it, you have to do it. That's not just a brit milah concept. That's a life concept. My father didn't give me the muscle. Okay, so you got to get your muscle. That's the way it goes. It's possible for a person to remedy the spoil aspect of himself by being a shomea le'etzah hacham. Fortunate are the parents and grandparents and rabbis and teachers. Fortunate are they who understand this principle and know how to properly administer it, because they're giving their children and students one of the most precious gifts in life. And fortunate are the people who realize today that maybe they have to fix it too. And they will take upon themselves a general that they train to be a soldier. This way they go through life with strength, with koach, with oz. Ezrat Hashem, have a good day.